So we're continuing with the Chaitanya Chandradoya Natak from Kavi Karnapur. So we have discussed yesterday that the entire play consists of 10 different acts which took a good portion of the day to perform, and we have come to the last two, act number 9. So in our... I'll first read the summary of that, of both Acts 9 and 10. Act 9, Journey to Mathura. The theme of the Lord's journey to Vrindavan is introduced by the appearance of a Kinara couple on stage who enter into a conversation about the pastimes of the Lord. The Lord grants his mercy in three ways: by direct personal presence. Some of the Lord's intimate devotees, devotee associates from Bengal, such as Narahari, Raghunanda Gunaraj Khan, Ramananda Vasu, again and again come to see the Lord in Jagannath Puri for Rath Yatra. And the philosopher Bhagavan Acharya vowed to stay his whole life in Purusottam Kshetra. Another way the Lord reveals himself is to those who are unable to come and see him. The Lord gives his mercy by personally entering in their hearts. In this way, the Lord has entered the hearts of Advaita Acharya, Nakula Brahmachari, and others also. The third way is when the Lord appears in meditation, as in the case of Nisringananda Brahmachari, who brought Lord Chaitanya in meditation. Lord Chaitanya finally came and ate an offering also, which was made to him. The next year, Lord Chaitanya confirmed that he actually came to that place and ate that particular offering. Ramananda Roy managed to delay Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's departure for Vrindavan with 2 years. When the Lord finally went and reached Vrindavan, his ecstasy increased many times. The devotees were concerned that the uncontrolled eruptions of ecstasy were so strong and decided that it would be better to take the Lord out of Vrindavan. On the way back from Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami in transcendental knowledge in Prayag. Later, he also met Sanatan Goswami in Varanasi. The two brothers became empowered to make knowledge available about the nature of devotional service and the pastimes of Krishna. So, this is then describing the how Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to Vrindavan. And it is said that, of course, Ramananda Rai, he was able to keep the Lord from going to Vrindavan for as long as 2 years. Because there's an interesting exchange of Vaishnav behavior existing between them. And that is that we see that devotees are asking blessings and permission from other Vaishnavas for what they do. They don't just... it wasn't that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply said, I'm going to Vrindavan, that's it. You know. No, rather he asked permission to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy to please allow him to go to Vrindavan now. And they were saying, oh, but this is a very bad time of the year, it's rainy season, and to go that whole way at this season will be very troublesome, better you stay. And then he stayed, and then they had other excuses, and in this way, before they knew, it was again rainy season. And he said, oh no, but now it's rainy season again, so you cannot go. And in this way, for 2 years, they kept him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu obliged them for 2 years. And then afterwards, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out, now I have obliged you for 2 years, now you have to let me go. So it's a very interesting principle of Vaishnava etiquette where one party becomes obliged to the other. One becomes indebted to the other. And in this way, this is how it works. You ask the permission, you have to let me go. Now, if someone asks me for blessings, let them go, and if I say, no, you cannot go, then I become, that person is obliging me. So after they have obliged me long enough, then I'm indebted to them. So then I will have to grant them their request. So because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had waited for 2 years, now the others were obliged to him. They had to grant the request. So after 2 years, they couldn't say no any longer. So they had to let him go. So it's an interesting part of Vaishnava etiquette, and we see how the Vaishnavas are in that way very flexible in the hands of other Vaishnavas. It takes some time to practice this art. I can't say that I have yet fully perfected that, to just become like clay in the hands of the Vaishnavas and let them shape. But still, gradually one comes more to that point, to accept, well, what is the will of the Vaishnavas? Not so much, well, what is my idea, what I want to do. So this is the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for that reason, he did not go for 2 years. Because he's full of love for the Lord, Ramananda cannot tolerate any separation from him, even though for a long time the Lord wished to go to Vrindavan. He delayed his departure for 2 years on Ramananda's account. King is now, Maharaj Pratapuruda is speaking. Bhattacharya, untying the knot in the rope of his mercy to Ramananda, the Lord has escaped. So this is the next point. So this is also very nice how it is like that. Although Ramananda Rai, by his extraordinary quality of devotion, was able to capture Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 2 years. Even then, the Lord escaped. This is the nature of the relationship that exists with Krishna. There is no such thing that a devotee can ever think, now I have Krishna. Right? Now I have surrendered, now I have Krishna, that's it. No, one has to always surrender again and again and earn the favor of Krishna again and again. Right? That is surrender. It is an ongoing process, not a one-time thing. Right? Now I surrender and then that's it. No, one has to again and again attract Krishna. And even then, sometimes, even although the devotee makes all endeavors, Krishna will just ignore him. Right? Simply to further increase the attachment of that devotee. And if one slightly develops the mood that one thinks, now we have captured Krishna, Krishna will disappear, as he did with the gopis in the Rasa dance. Right? He just disappeared as soon as they were taking it a little bit for granted. Yes, so that also applies on our level, that we always again and again have to conquer Krishna. And we also experience that in our spiritual life, how at times we are very inspired and then again that inspiration disappears and it becomes austerity and struggle and difficult. And then what? Then one has to make a renewed endeavor to really make a serious sacrifice for Krishna and really go out of our way for the pleasure of Krishna. Then again, we can renew that feeling of inspiration. So we know all about how the knot in the rope of the mercy is being untied for us also. We have Krishna and then we don't. To whatever extent one can have him. So there's a long description in this chapter here about the Lord appearing in three ways: directly appearing before the devotee, entering into the heart of the devotee, or appearing in the devotee's thoughts. And these examples are given of Nakula Brahmachari. The Lord entered into his heart, and it is a famous story which is found in exactly the same way in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Nakula Brahmachari showed all the symptoms of love of God the same as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sivananda Sen could not accept that, because his problem was that he was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and he could not tolerate it that the people were worshipping someone else as much as Lord Chaitanya. That was too much for him. I find it interesting, because you see sometimes in our movement also these dynamics that those who had very close association with Prabhupada, it's very hard to accept anybody else. You know, it's like, it's not possible. They can't. It's like, how can anybody else, right? Possibly even slightly take his place, even be in the center of everyone's attention as a pure personality. It's, what is this person in comparison to Prabhupada? And of course, that is true in one sense. What is anyone's position in comparison to Prabhupada, right? But on the other hand, it doesn't mean that there is no potency in the Vaishnavas. So one should see that a Vaishnava is never an ordinary person. And any Vaishnava who has rendered substantial service to Krishna is certainly not an ordinary person, is an empowered personality. So to always compare everyone to Prabhupada, 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 is also not necessarily the right approach. We should also appreciate every Vaishnava in its own merit and see their credits. And yes, Prabhupada is unique, without a doubt, a special personality who showed his love for Krishna in such a wonderful way. There is a particular lecture where Prabhupada gives that simple explanation. He says that if you love the body, you automatically love the finger. If you love the country, then you also love the residents of the country, or part of the country. In other words, if you love the whole, you will also love a part. So if you love the Supreme Lord, you will also love His creation. Right? And in this way, Prabhupada's love of God was not just an abstract or ethereal thing, right? Where he was loving Krishna, and he was the only one who could see Krishna, and others cannot see Krishna, and tears in the eyes, and so forth, ecstatic symptoms. No, Prabhupada's love for Krishna was also very much manifest in loving dealings with human beings, right? Because he was seeing every human being as a part and parcel of Krishna, and that way it comes down to a very practical platform and makes him makes his love of God so wonderful, like how he, that makes it possible for Prabhupada to come and live with the hippies in the Western world and so forth, because he had that vision, not only Krishna, but seeing every living being as a part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore being kind to them. So we don't see any such love of God displayed anywhere, in anyone. We see many Vaishnavas in our contemporary situation who are inspired about Krishna and who speak about Krishna in inspiring ways, but we don't see anyone who made such a sacrifice to bring Krishna's parts and parcels to Krishna, and who showed so much love in that respect. Right? And in that, Prabhupada's greatness is beyond what anybody else has displayed or shown. And that's really love in its greatest sense. That is Krishna Prem in its greatest sense. Not just Krishna, Krishna, but also, yes, every living being is part and parcel of the Lord, is meant for the pleasure of the Lord. So let us go forward and please the Lord. So we can understand Sivananda Sen's sentiment. That's why I like Sivananda Sen, this pastime. Sivananda Sen's sentiment of being reluctant to accept Nakula Brahmachari. What are all these people worshipping Nakula Brahmachari for, right? This Brahmachari, just because he cries some tears, right? And they worship him as good as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I can't accept that, right? Never. You know, how can I accept? My heart will break, you know, having to accept such a thing. But then again,
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can do anything. So he could have entered the heart of this brahmachari. It is possible. But how will I know? If he knows my worshipable mantra, then I will accept him. And next moment, Nakula Brahmachari told the people, call Sivananda Sen. A huge crowd of people, they brought Sivananda Sen. And Nakula Brahmachari said, please give up your doubt. I know your worshipable mantra. It is the Gaura Gopal mantra, which was Gauranga. Right. So, because Sivananda Sen was a total devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So further descriptions of some of the pastimes I will not now discuss this very much because I want to go forward to the final act. We'll read a few things about Lord Chaitanya's experience in Vrindavan. The Lord in Vrindavan. When the Supreme Lord saw the beauty of the Yamuna River or of the Vrindavan forest, he became filled with ecstatic love. He cried without restraint, and he eagerly embraced each tree and vine with his arms. When he saw the Surabhi cows in Vrindavan, he became wild with happiness. The tears flowed from his eyes as a celestial Ganges river, and he fell to the ground as the top of golden Mount Meru, blown to the earth by a great wind. King, then, men bringing news, they told us that when he saw a peacock feather, he fell down, rolled about on the ground, trembled, cried out, ran to and fro, wept, and fainted unconscious. Once, when the Lord saw calves running in Vrindavan forest with tails raised, he fainted in ecstasy and fell into brambles by the roadside. The king then, one time in the forest, he fainted and fell to the ground in ecstasy. Then the deers licked the foam from his mouth, and the birds drank the tears that had fallen from his eyes. Once at Govardhan Hill, he fell from a great height, although his body became broken because he was drowning in the ocean of ecstatic love. He was not aware that he was hurt. When he saw the forest groves of Vrindavan, he became overwhelmed with love and he cried without restraint. Seeing this, the trees and vines also cried, and the deers fainted in ecstasy. When the Lord, overcome with grief, roared like a thunderbolt, the peacocks stopped dancing, and they also cried for a long time without restraint. In this way, the Lord was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Balabhadra Bhattacharya and the other devotees began to worry about the Lord's welfare. They thought, this is not good. Then they forced the Lord to leave Vrindavan. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya was the Brahmana servant of Lord Chaitanya, who was sent with him to take care of him on this journey to Vrindavan. And he thought, it's too much. The Lord is going beyond control here. And therefore he arranged it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. And we know from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and also here in this Chaitanya Chandradwaj Natak, that then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with Rupa Goswami and later also with Sanatana Goswami. So he empowered these two brothers. Here it is said that Rupa Goswami was the exact replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was very, very dear to the Lord. Being the embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, Rupa Goswami was naturally very beautiful. He very carefully followed the principles enunciated by the Lord, and he was a competent person to explain properly the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded his mercy to Srila Rupa Goswami just so he could render service by writing transcendental literatures. So I like this point, the exact replica, and I thought I should say a few things about that, because we see this sometimes, how disciples, they begin to look very much like their guru, right? They begin to even have the same expressions, right? So also, Prabhupada had also disciples, some leading disciples who began to walk just like him. With Prabhupada, his aristocratic way with walking with the chin upwards, only when those personalities put their chin upwards, then unfortunately to others it looked as if their nose was upwards, right? You can think maybe of some examples. So what to do? So imitation doesn't work, right? The disciples are not meant to imitate the spiritual master, but it's not so easy because one is meditating on that spiritual master, one is trying to meditate on his qualities, so the tendency for imitation is coming out, right? It is like a tendency which manifests itself. Now here we're seeing that Rupa Goswami became the exact replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how does that work? Here we should not think that Rupa Goswami was also getting in the same mood as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, trying to cry tears and always half blind and half deaf and walking in ecstasy like we saw yesterday. No, what actually we're seeing is that the disciple becomes the exact replica of the spiritual master because he becomes the servant of the spiritual master. And if one becomes someone's servant, then one's priorities change. Initially, one may have his own ideas. And if we are having our own ideas, it means that certain things are important to us. But as we are becoming the servant of the spiritual master, whatever is important to the spiritual master, that should be important to us. Not what's important in our own mind, but what is important in his mind. And therefore, as we become more and more the servant, we begin to, all the priorities that are important to the spiritual master become our priorities. And therefore, gradually, we develop similar qualities. Although we may still be individual persons with different natures and be distinctly different, and maybe, but still, some of the qualities of the spiritual master are being automatically developed like that. Yeah? Therefore, we see some similarity in the mood. So we see that Srila Rupa Goswami had so much become the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that it is described here, he was an exact replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I find it an interesting theme. Right? So this is the higher side of becoming the replica. By following in the footsteps, one, and by serving the spiritual master, one becomes the replica of the spiritual master. The downside is simply imitation of the external features. The chin up, but in the followers, it wasn't the chin. The nose was up. Yes. So what happened to the points of interest here? So we'll just read then the summary of the 10th act, which is where the 10th act is describing the Rati Yatra. Of course, the Rati Yatra has been described before, and every year all the devotees are traveling with Sivananda Sen to Puri. And from reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you don't really understand how many devotees that is, right? But here it is described as many as thousands, right? I never thought of that by reading the CC, that it was thousands, right? But it makes sense that it's thousands. But in the by reading the CC and hearing of the intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you more thought of hundreds, right? But here it's clearly stated, thousands of devotees came from Bengal every year. So that's a nice little expansion of our vision of what really was taking place there. It is described that the 10th act begins with a foreigner who enters on the stage
and who wants to travel with Sivananda Sen and all the devotees on their annual journey from Bengal to Puri to meet with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's inquiring, will Sivananda Sen take me? So one of the regular devotees of the party of Sivananda says, why not? Sivananda Sen once even took a dog to Jagannath Puri, so certainly he would take a human being. The pastime of the dog being taken to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described in detail. And we know that this dog was following. This dog did not leave the party. Even he was taken across the river on boats. Sivananda Sen paid for him. He adopted him as a devotee. And we know many such dog stories of faithful dogs who are like that, who follow the devotees. The Padayatra adopted a dog. We had a whole lot of dog discussions over the years. Devotee dogs, right? Very nice. But this dog was special because at the end of the journey he disappeared, and Sivananda had the search party out, never found him again until he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The dog was already there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was throwing coconut pulp at the dog, and the dog was eating it. And then the Lord said, chant, and the dog was chanting Hare Krishna. Right? And it said that when Sivananda Sen saw that dog chanting Hare Krishna, he paid obeisances to that dog, right? Thinking, just in case I've committed offenses, you know, to this dog. I thought he was a dog, right? All along, I thought he was a dog. Now I realize he's a Vaishnava. So that's like, this is all classical Chaitanya Charitamrita, but still, it's just beautiful stories that we can hear again and again and appreciate again and again. So that's the story of the dog, which is also told here. The foreigner who is coming into this act turns out to gradually not just be your average foreigner, but he is the son, he's the representative of Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, who are the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami came from a super wealthy family, and the family did everything to try and keep him. But finally, Raghunath Das escaped, so he was in Puri with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They knew it, and therefore they sent this. So this man was actually a spy. So this only comes out in the middle of the act. You know, he's a nice foreigner, a nice pilgrim, but eventually he's just a spy who is coming to take Raghunath back. But Sivananda Sen is explaining. He said, Raghunath is such an extraordinary devotee. He is full of the topmost love of God. He is so renounced. There's no one. He has no more interest in the world at all. He said, I will take you to him. I will take you to him. He's not at all afraid that they will capture Raghunath, because he says, Raghunath, he cannot be captured anymore. He is already gone. He has entered into another dimension. But by seeing Raghunath, you will be blessed. So you come on the party. So the spy gets exposed, but Sivananda takes him anyway. So we're skipping that part a little bit, and we'll just go on. Then the devotees reach Jagannath Puri and finally meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord has affectionate exchanges with each of them. Soon it will be time for Snan Yatra. The Lord is in different ecstasies, sometimes crying in happiness and sometimes in separations. So I want to read a little bit about this Snan Yatra. It's quite nice. Just a second, I have to locate it. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, I'm acting with him. Where is it now? We've got devotees, the green king. So all the devotees have arrived in Jagannath Puri, and the king is standing there. All the arrangements are being made for the Snan Yatra a few days in advance. They're discussing. It's not a small affair, right? It's quite a big a big thing in the community, and there is a whole system of how to watch Snan Yatra. Everyone has the best places are reserved for the king and his family. Right? They get special places, just like in a theater. There are special galleries, it's a special boxes where the queens can sit to watch Snan Yatra, the bathing of Lord Jagannath. Right? Well, this year, before the organization, the king discusses with the minister, and the king says, well, from this year I will watch the bathing from the roof, right, this building. All right, whatever the king says, the king says. But of course he's thinking, why the king wants to watch it from the roof? Why not close by? Because the king wants to give the best places to the devotees. So he makes this arrangement that all these special galleries from where one can watch the bathing ceremony very nicely, he makes that and reserves it for the devotees. So, well, when the queens find out about this, right, they get quite upset. First it says, so the king speaks to Kasi Misra. O Kasi Misra, let all Lord Chaitanya's Bengali friends, associates, followers, and servants enter the special viewing boxes otherwise used by my wife's children and friends. And from these places, let them all see the bathing festival with great happiness. Kasi Misra King, you have confirmed the order already given by Lord Chaitanya. King, very good, so be it. Palace guard. And then, O King, the queen sent this message. We have come to see the Lord's bathing festival, but now we find that we cannot see it. So the queens are quite upset that they can't see it. And the king says, no, it's okay. You can see it very nicely from here, from on the roof, right? So they're all like, what's this, you know? Do we have to watch it from on the roof? So the queens are initially upset, but they're accepting, right? So there is a very, very nice description here. I'm just have to find it, though. I don't see it. So, at one point, the two lords are facing each other. And Lord Jagannath is, the drops of water are bouncing off him. Right? And all these drops are just glistening in the sky, kind of like reflecting the light. And at the same time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing in front of Lord Jagannath, and from his body also many drops are coming, but it's the drops of his tears that are just shooting in all directions. So, and that are also glistening like diamonds. So the queen said, we came to see Lord Jagannath, but we are getting more than that. Now we're getting a double darshan, right? This is even better than just seeing Lord Jagannath. Now we are seeing even Lord Chaitanya, and that is even more wonderful. After this Snan Yatra is over, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enters into a great feeling of separation. It's already over. It's already finished. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, who always knows the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who is just glorifying Krishna according to the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swarup Damodar begins to sing a song now in a mood of grief and in a mood of separation. And in this way, he follows the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is totally transparent to whatever the mood is of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is said that he stays in this mood of separation. And there's a whole group of singers, and they have been singing one line, a single line from a particular bhajan, for 6 hours, without any change in the tune, without It's just they repeat the same line of the song over and over, again and again. And it's so deep and so intense. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just totally focused. The singers are totally focused. And it's going on for 6 hours nonstop.
Right.
So this is like, again, I find it nice. Sometimes we see in the Sunday feast, they say like, have 20 minutes kirtan before the program, right? And we go like, 20 minutes bhajan before the program, 20 minutes, right? God, you know? Huh? Yeah, change the tune in those 20 minutes, right? Every minute, every 3 minutes, a different tune, 7 tunes in 20 minutes, right? And it's like, I hate those 20 minutes things, and I just, I don't do it. I just go for 1 hour at least, right? I mean, sure, if Yasuki, right? 1 hour is the minimum. Less than 1 hour, how can you even get into it? Yeah, you know, it's hard to stop, right? It's like, we can go for hours, and then you see some people are looking, my God, you know, they're sitting there just chanting for hours. Isn't there another song they're going to sing? No, there's no other song. It's the same song, same thing. And it's the nicest if you go in a groove, right? You just go in this tune, and one tune, yeah, same tune. For half an hour, one tune, 45 minutes, didn't change the tune. Ecstasy, right? This is like, and that's nothing compared to what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing here, right? I bet you never did that, right? 6 hours on one line. Is it? Yeah. he's practicing. He's getting there. And maybe one day you'll be one of those singers. See, Vyasaki told me for him the main dham is Jagannath Puri. Yeah, that's it. So maybe in a future appearance of Lord Chaitanya, you'll be here as one of the singers. 6 hours, you can chant the same line. That's be nice. Maybe I can play some cartels. I'll come along, no problem. So, it's very nice to actually see how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has so much taste for the chanting. And it's like, it's something we should understand, right? He is seeing Krishna. He's not just seeing, oh, here's Lord Jagannath, a nice bathing ceremony. Well, it's much better this year than last year, right? I mean, a better arrangement, definitely, you know? As if it's some sort of event in the theater, you know, where we're going and we are critics who are sitting there and judging the performance, right? Lord Chaitanya is seeing Krishna, right? And we are just looking, well, you know, we don't like this Rath Yatra so much, right? But it's Lord Jagannath. Of course, here in this play, the devotees didn't like the Rath Yatra so much. That's how it begins in the first act, because the Rath Yatra in the beginning of the play is the Rath Yatra after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left the planet. So to celebrate a Rath Yatra without Mahaprabhu, they have no interest, practically speaking, these devotees. So how is it that they are so attached to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? This is coming out. The Rath Yatra is beginning. And the king makes the first statement. He says, I do not desire to serve Lord Jagannath on his chariot as much as I yearn to see the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is stated that Lord Jagannath came out of the temple to ride on his chariot to see the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Which I also, it seems very nice, right? It's not that Lord Chaitanya came
to see Lord Jagannath and dance in front of the cart. No. Lord Jagannath came out of the temple to ride on his chariot to see the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just see. Now, we have already discussed the story of Sivananda Sen and how Sivananda Sen was traveling with all those devotees on the way, how the tax collector stopped him, how he didn't want to pay the tax for so many thousands of people, he was being cheated, and they wanted too much, you know, these tax collectors.
Yes, you come with so many, no, this will cost very much, yes, this, no, no, you cannot go.
All these things, and they threw him in jail, and finally, how then the minister of that state who was involved, because thousands is a lot, is a lakh, or is a lot of money. So the minister personally came and asked, who is more important, Lord Jagannath or Lord Chaitanya? Right? So then it was stated by Sivananda Sen, Lord Chaitanya. And the minister accepted. And now here, again, we're seeing the same theme returning. It is Lord Chaitanya who is more important. And it is a fact that Lord Chaitanya, as an appearance of the Supreme Lord in this world, right, is more merciful, is displaying more of his mercy, and in that sense more important. He will pick up anyone and everyone in this age. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is the Ishtadev, right? And this point, that he is our Ishtadev, is, or worshipable deity. Ishtadev means worshipable deity. Lord Chaitanya is our Ishtadev. That is an important point. It's not that, well, we have a movement, like here in this temple, we have three altars, Gaur Nitai, Radha Gopinath and Jagannath, and so, well, you just choose. You think like, well, you know, I like Radha Krishna. That's my taste. As if we're sitting in the restaurant. So, can I have the menu card? Give me a bit of Radha Krishna, Darshan. I'll take a little Jagannath for dessert, and we'll take a little, Gaur Nitai, just a pinch of Gaur Nitai, you know, to add some mercy to it, right? It's not that we're making a menu like that and that everyone just chooses which deity he likes best. You know, no, I'm a Jagannath Bhakta. That may be. I'm into Nrisingadev, yes. I'm into Radha Krishna. Fine, that may all be. But Nitai Pada Binabai Radha Krishna Paitabai Nai. Without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, there's no question of approaching Radha and Krishna, approaching anybody else. We are depending on Lord Chaitanya, totally, totally. It is our main deity is Lord Chaitanya, actually. He is our Ishtadev. Different devotees at different points in time in the history of the world have their worshipable deities. Some at Lord Ramachandra, some at Lord Krishna, but our worshipable deity is Lord Chaitanya. And this has to be part of our message. Yes, we are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, but very much part of that Krishna Consciousness is Lord Chaitanya. And we're seeing in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Adi Lila chapter 8 describes that those who worship Krishna but do not accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are not devotees, they're demons. Right? He even classifies them as demons. Now, we should not think that these innocent Gujaratis, you know, who are all spontaneously running towards Nathji and worshipping Krishna, but who've never really understood that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, that they are demons. But it means that when one is presented with all the evidence and all the facts that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord and then does not accept, is a demon. That's actually the meaning of the statement of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And so here, the devotees are not intellectually accepting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Ishtadev. They are automatically accepting. Even the queens who are devotees of Jagannath, they say, well, it's just amazing
The bathing of Lord Jagannath is wonderful, but the bathing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his own tears in Snan Yatra is even more amazing. Yeah? Even more amazing. And it's equally, it's the same. It's like the amount of water is the same, but just see how amazing. And now it is Rati Yatra. Taking the eyes and minds of everyone with him, Lord Jagannath has now ascended his chariot as Lord Gaurahari stands on the path before him. Everyone's eyes have at once turned from Lord Jagannath to Lord Chaitanya. That is stated. And it says, this proves the statement, Baliyan Para, the second one, is stronger. Glory to golden-complexioned Lord Chaitanya, who, surrounded by three rings of devotees, is like the whirl of a blossoming thousand-petaled lotus flower. And the same thing we find when we go to Jagannath Puri. We cannot enter into the Jagannath Mandir. I don't care at all, to tell you the truth, right? It's okay. We'll sing outside the Jagannath Temple. Jagannatha Swami, Nayana Patagami Bhava Tume. That's what we'll sing. We go to Puri for Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is everywhere in Jagannath Puri. It's just amazing how many wonderful places there are. How much present is Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri? So, all right, then we cannot enter into the Jagannath Mandir. But so many of Lord Chaitanya's followers also didn't enter. Haridas Thakur didn't enter. So we'll go to Siddhabakul, where Haridas Thakur was, and we'll visit that place. That will be our holy place. And we'll go to Totagopinath Temple, right, where we are welcome, and so many other places that we don't feel, we don't feel sad, right? Because our main purpose when we go to Puri is actually not to visit the Jagannath Temple. We are not going to Puri on a long pilgrimage to see Lord Jagannath. Oh yes, of course, we are worshipping Lord Jagannath, without a doubt. But we are even more going to Puri because Lord Chaitanya stayed in Jagannath Puri for 18 years. That is what makes Jagannath Puri for us the most special place. And that's why it is very much a place for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, right? Otherwise there, Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, wonderful. Balaji in Tirupati, amazing, wonderful. And if you go in that temple of Balaji in South India, it's very impressive. You have to wait, it's way on the mountain, and finally, after you've been in queue, they let you in. When I went there, the last time there was a Brahmana beating a very big drum. The drum had like a diameter of 2 meters and a big sticks. Boom, boom. It's like slow steps, right? The sound of slow, heavy steps entering into the temple. And there, you know, gradually one zigzags through this big temple, still not being able to see the deity. Finally, one gets around the corner into the Garbhagriha, the actual house where the deity is, very small, and crowds rush, and you see the deity, and already you're out before you know it. Right? Yeah. As a sannyasi, they give you like a little longer, but it is really quick. Right? Glimpse. People are walking in and pushed backwards, looking around the corner, out. It's wonderful. And after fantastic ladus, so going to Tirupati is great. It's a wonderful experience, and you got to go. The best way to go is to walk all the way up the mountain, step by step, you know, so that you really go through this thing of like, I'm approaching the Lord. And it is true. You will have never felt so much of a conscious effort to prostrate yourself or to go and have a glimpse of the Lord. The whole mood there, you get a glimpse for a few seconds, but the whole mood is like such an endeavor, and you get just these few seconds. How much mercy is there? So it makes you appreciative, actually, especially if you walk up the mountain. So it's wonderful. So yesterday also, I was talking a bit with Vyasaki about different darshans in India, and there are so many amazing darshans. And he had a whole story about an Agni temple, which was like somewhere deep. Well, you had to go deep inside a staircase. The Brahmana who opened up the temple was locked, and there was this noise inside. The Brahmana said, "Did you bring gamshas?" "Yeah, we brought gamshas because we were taught to bring gamshas." "Says we are ready." Okay, down the stairs with the gamshas, and there was a tank of water. And they had to go in the tank of water. And when you were in the tank of water, then in the back, you saw how the fire was burning on that water. And the explanation was sulfur was coming out of the water and then that the fire. So Agni Mandir. What a temple. The only Agni Mandir, the only fire temple in India. But India is like that, full of amazing darshans, amazing temples, amazing Vishnu temples especially, right? Where one is not just going for, let's have a look at the deities. Oh, they are nice. I like them very much. No, but where it's a special experience, a special manifestation, how the Lord manifests His mercy in a special way. So we never want to minimize the value of the darshan of Lord Jagannath. We want it, of course. We're waiting for the day that a huge kirtan party will just move in, or so that day that Lord Jagannath will walk out of the temple to that other temple, as the prediction goes in Puri. Whatever may be, it's written in their shastra, isn't it? What was it? One is that the Russians or something would be coming, I heard. Two things have happened already of the signs. Okay. Donate for the Puri temple. Not only donate, help Vyasaki to collect for the Puri temple. Right? See him after this program. Buy his tapes. Don't bootleg them. anyway, like that, we are full of appreciation for the wonderful worship of Lord Jagannath and for the amazing wonder that the temple in Jagannath Puri is. But beyond that, Lord Chaitanya, right, in Jagannath Puri. That's why we are going. We're walking on that beach knowing well that Lord Chaitanya has been running there. Just like we're going to Bombay, or now Mumbai, right? Smelly place, right? Horrible city. But we're walking on that Juhu beach. It's a Tirtha, a holy place. Prabhupada walked there, and not once, not twice, many, many times. It's holy sand, right? One can roll in the dust on Juhu beach, right? And walk again and again. So in the same way in Puri, Lord Chaitanya ran in ecstasy over that beach. So what to say? So Lord Chaitanya is at different times leaping up and down. It said, some of the witnesses seeing Lord Chaitanya dancing enthusiastically. Look, Lord Chaitanya dances enthusiastically. Now he has fallen to the ground. Now the anxious devotees surround him. They extend their arms to pick him up. Yes, everyone is watching the queens. Now we see it. Look, one moment Lord Chaitanya leaps as a lion. And the next moment, tossed by the waves of transcendental bliss, he dances as a circling firebrand. This morning Vyasuki told me he does cartwheels also. So cartwheels are like, yeah, like that. Huh? Vyasuki, how do you know that? He was there. Yeah? And you did, I see you did firebrands this morning, yeah? But Lord Chaitanya did these circles, spinning in circles so fast that it just looked like it was all one. Like if you take a pen, I don't have one with me. You take a pen, you move very quick, it looks like a closed circle. No, I don't want a pen. That's okay. This whole world is ruled by pens. Oh, I see. Computers now, huh? Yeah, and Prabhupada didn't make it up either. I mean, it comes in parampara from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who himself was engaging devotees in such transcendental kirtan. In Srivasangan, that's what they were doing the whole night in front of the deities, etc. So Lord Chaitanya has fallen unconscious in the middle of the kirtan, and some are some in the crowd are wondering, is he alive? Has he died? You know, he's lying there, so there's like a lot of confusion as to what's going on. So people start saying, no, he has not died, he's alive. Otherwise, how could the devotees peacefully gaze upon him? So there's the circle of the inner devotees, they know, right? One of the palace guards says, it's wonderful, the same song that makes the Lord unconscious has now awakened him. What is this mantra song that makes him conscious and unconscious? And it's very interesting how Lord Chaitanya first falls unconscious by the chanting, and then they have to chant in his ear, and then he comes again to consciousness. So what is this song? Amazing song. Lord Jagannath rides in his chariot so that he can display his love for Gaurachandra. Tears streaming from his eyes, Lord Chaitanya dances in ecstasy before Lord Jagannath. Now the Rath Yatra festival is completed. One Lord is seated in the Gundicha temple, and the other Lord is sitting in a nearby garden. In a single moment, these two Lords have both entered the hearts of the devotees. This is Maharaj Prataparuda speaking. So after that great Rath Yatra festival, which was totally amazing, there's also the Hirapanchami festival, where after a few days, when Lord Jagannath is in the Gundicha temple, the other temple, so not the Jagannath temple, but Gundicha temple on the other side of the Rath Yatra route, then after some days, Goddess Lakshmi comes out and is very jealous that the Lord is not returning to the temple, and she comes with her servants and attacks the servants of Lord Jagannath. So the servants of Lakshmi Devi come with sticks and beat the servants of Lord Jagannath. This is a festival in Jagannath Puri called Hirapanchami. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also witnessing this, and they're discussing this along with Sarup Damodar and Srivas. They're discussing this this festival, and Sarup Damodar saying, now look at this jealousy. Right? He said, like, this is typical the mood of a queen. And Srivas is saying, no, well, it's natural. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, yeah, natural for you, because you are
none other than Narada Muni, so you are from Dwarka, said, but in Vrindavan this is not accepted. Like that, they are looking at this pastime, and finally, the play is coming close, different places, etc., and of course, to its end. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking Advaita Acharya, after the festival is over, this whole festival now has displayed the greatest ecstasy. It has shown that Lord Chaitanya is the most amazing manifestation of the Supreme Lord, because there is no manifestation of the Supreme Lord where the ecstasy that the Lord is experienced is displayed in such a way. So such symptoms are not seen anywhere. And this is most wonderful. It are the symptoms of Srimati Radharani, these symptoms that should awaken in our heart. And therefore, in this form, the Lord is bringing to us the closest what we need to achieve. The goal that we are aiming to achieve is brought to us more through this form of Lord Chaitanya than any other form. Therefore, now Lord Chaitanya has displayed everything, right, in full. So he's asking to Advaita Acharya, what more may I do to please you? Which is just basically asked after the festival as a casual remark, you know, is there anything else you would like during this festival? But Advaita Acharya takes the question in its full depth and says, what more may you do to please me? Lord, you have revealed the most confidential pastimes of Lord Krishna. You've crushed the age of Kali, and you have described the secret meaning of devotional service in pure love of Krishna. You have brought all auspiciousness to the devotees expert at relishing the mellows of transcendental pastimes. You have openly revealed the ecstatic pure devotional love felt by Sri Radha, the crest jewel of all the gopis. I have one request. I think material piety, economic development, and sense gratification worthless and insignificant. I don't want impersonal liberation. I only want that in the next life I may have the association of your devotees. Sri Chaitanya, so be it. I will go to Vrindavan, and there I will accept you as my associates, and with my sweet pastimes I will fill your heart with bliss. To you, who have faith in Vrindavan, I will give splendid spiritual forms like my own. That is what I will do for you. Those of you whose hearts are bound to me in this form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even if your rasas are friendship or servitude to Sri Radha Madhava or Lord Dwarkadish, or if your rasas are friendship or servitude to any of my other incarnations, I will make it into my eternally, into my eternally liberated associates in Golok Vrindavan. So this is very interesting. Of course, it touches upon the topic of changing rasa, which Srila Prabhupada strongly addressed. Right. Srila Prabhupada addressed this point that why would one change rasa? Because everyone is fully satisfied with his rasa. The point that Prabhupada reiterated, the rasa is there. The verse Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sajya Kabunai Sravanadi Sudha Chitta Karya Udai is pointing out that it is being uncovered, right? That it is already there, being uncovered. There is a long conversation with Hansa Dutta, who's asking the question, all the pertinent questions, can one change? And the answer again is, why would one? Generally, one will not. But one can, but one will not. Generally, one will not, like that. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila chapter 6, the appearance of Advaita Acharya, or the tattva of Advaita Acharya, is described. And there is also a description that generally the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of Advaita Acharya and of Lord Nityananda, are either in parental or in conjugal ras. Here it is
And there it is stated, but if they get the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then they can also realize Madhurya. So we can understand that although one generally does not change his ras, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can actually attract everyone and make them devotees of Golok. So many times these questions have been raised, well, what if someone was by nature a devotee of Lord Ramachandra? And if he comes into this movement, then will he, through this Sankirtan movement, go to Ayodhya? And those who are Vaikunthabasis, will they go to Vaikuntha? And these questions are asked sometimes. So this quote here deals with that and basically says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will attract all these personalities and take them back to Golok. Mind you, there are some exceptions. Murari Gupta was Hanuman, and Lord Chaitanya could not change his faith in Lord Ramachandra. He said, I cannot give it up, right? Lord Chaitanya told him, from now on, you worship Krishna. And he tried for the whole night. And then he fell in the morning at the feet of Lord Chaitanya, and he prayed. He said, let me die at your feet, because I cannot give up my Lord Ramachandra. And I can also not disobey your order to worship Krishna, so better I die at your feet. Right? Like that. So it is not that one has to change, but we see that some are becoming, by the mercy, by the attachment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are promoted to Golok, although they may not, in their original rasa, have been there. So it is stated by Kavi Karnapur in the Chaitanya Chandradoy Natak. I will not argue it any further. There is the epilogue. In the epilogue, one thing he says, may the saintly devotees take pleasure in listening to this play. I offer my obeisances to them all. And may they who are not devotees not be able to understand my descriptions of these transcendental pastimes. So this is very nice, because our Indologist here, Bhakta Rembert, right, gave me some analysis of this text from the famous Sushil Kumar Day, who is like one of the principal Indologists, and he just made, well, as they say, it's a little unsavory, the expression, but what can I say? He made minced meat of the of this work, and with all his qualification, he could not understand the nature of the Chaitanya Chandradoy Natak. Because Kavi Karnapur prayed for that. May the non-devotees not understand my description. So he has no chance. It's like against the prayers of Kavi Karnapur. So finally, the final sentence is, please, people like us who have personally seen the great devotees of the Lord, received their mercy, understood the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and are filled with love for Him, we will never die. If we die, we will not take birth again in this material world. If we do not take birth here again, then what can death do to us? Oh, most auspicious destiny that awaits us, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Okay, that is the end of the Chaitanya Chandradoy Nataka. So it's also the end of my time. So unfortunately, not much time for discussion, but I'm sure that now you'll go to Vrindavan. After these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, it was promised by Kavi Karnapur that all of you would go to Vrindavan. So I think now Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj will take you there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Kavi Karnapur ki jai.